Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are, whatever time it is. Welcome to the Post Game Plan. I am your host, Ali Samani, home of career development for aspiring current and former basketball players, professional basketball players, that is. And our guest today really redefines what it means to persevere, be a warrior within the league, and really excel outside of the league. He is an author, also an NBA champion, and he's run a very successful business. I'm really happy to have him and share some of his stories. His name is Mike James. Mike, how are you doing today, man?
I'm doing good. I won't complain.
Awesome, man. Thank you. Thank you so much for being on the show, man. Really looking forward to you sharing some of the stories. I know that you went to college in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. How many years did you do there?
So I did. Graduated with a degree in children's psychology from Duquesne University.
Okay.
So, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And what year did you enter the league?
Oh, wow. I entered the league in, I want to say, graduated in 1998, entered the league in the 2001 season. I played 3 years in Europe before I finally made it to the NBA.
Okay. So now, that being said, when you were doing children's psychology, were you thinking about, like, what are the possible careers that I could take from there? Or was playing basketball, you know, something that you were completely focused on? Or did you think about what outside of basketball I should prepare for?
You know, I really didn't know what I wanted to aspire to be when I was in college. I knew there were so many different options for me. But I can just always remember how my mother used to always tell me that I had such a connection to children. Even at such a young age, she used to always tell me how kids always would just gravitate to me. And so that was a main reason why I chose children's psychology, because I just wanted to work with children. I wanted to be, you know, I figured out that I wanted to be someone that would inspire kids and help motivate them in whatever, you know, whatever career that I take after basketball, or whether or not basketball even works for me. I just always felt the connection to really developing a child's mind. So I wanted to understand how the psyche of a child works. And, you know, and that was the main reason why I chose children's psychology.
That's interesting. Now, I mean, I'm sure your story of really perseverance and courage and being a warrior, I mean, you didn't start off getting drafted, and you made it to the league thereafter, becoming an NBA champion, having a very successful career in the NBA. You know, I'm sure that resonates with a lot of individuals, or at least the dreams of a lot of individuals, and having the ability to really persevere through those ups and downs. So, I mean, I'm sure you kind of alluded to this, you know, you weren't really sure if being in the NBA was something that was going to happen for you. Now, how did you prepare for life after the NBA or life outside of basketball without knowing that you were going to make it or not?
You know, I just kept my options open. If getting a 9-to-5 was the way that I was going to go, well, then I would have been prepared for that. But I felt like I was a pretty good ball player throughout my life, from starting from AAU basketball to college basketball. I had a pretty good collegiate career. And I always believed there was something special about myself, even though no one else believed the same thing as myself. And coming out was the year of the lockout. So if you didn't get drafted, there wasn't any, you know, mini camps, or no draft camps for college players. And so I felt, well, I'm going to give this European, you know, I'm going to give European basketball a try. And that was even, it was as tough as, you know, signing a European deal than it was as far as getting drafted. But I chose, you know, a country in Austria, and, you know, I was one of the better players in that country. And so everywhere I went in Europe, I've always was up for MVP candidates, and I was always up for, you know, one of the better players. So that just kept me motivated to believe that, you know what, Mike, you really can play basketball. And so, you know, why don't you just keep trying? Why don't you keep giving it a try and just never give up on myself and believe that, you know, maybe the NBA isn't that far away from me if I keep developing as a person and as a player.
Right. So you entered the league in, I think you said 2000, is that right? 2000?
Yes, 2000, 2001.
Okay. Now, what age were you at that time?
I want to say about 24, 25.
Okay. So, I mean.
About 25, 26. I was an older rookie.
Yeah, so you're definitely an older rookie. Now, tell me a little bit about, you know, from the time that you started playing professional, at least in the NBA, when do you think you started thinking about life after basketball? I mean, obviously your career started at 25, so, and you won an NBA championship in, I believe it's 04, right? And, you know, all these different things happened. You got traded a couple of times. You played extremely well. When did you really start thinking about life after basketball?
You always have to think about life after basketball, even while you're playing the game, because injuries, no one is exempt from injuries, and a severe injury can happen at any given time. And so you always trying to figure out, you know, what is it that I can do to continue to keep generating revenue for myself even when the basketball stops. And so the hardest part is really trying to find trustworthy people, because, you know, everyone looks at a professional athlete, whether it's baseball, hockey, soccer, football, basketball, you know, they look at it as an easy come up for themselves. And so, you know, everyone tries to give you different business ideas where it's basically their dreams that they want you to finance for them. And so the hardest part really was trying to find some trustworthy people that was really into it for the, you know, to really benefit. They really want to see a success story for myself and really want to help me gain revenue for my future. And so that was, I guess, the hardest part, was finding people that was really on the same page as me and wanted to help me get to the next level as far as my career outside of the game of basketball, but as a businessman. And so, you know, you go year after year finding people, but throughout the process, there's more people trying to hurt you than it is trying to help you. So that was the hardest part, weaning out. You know, the weaning out the good ones from the bad ones, and that took more time than finding, you know, good business ideas and people that really want to help you get to the next level.
Wow. Okay. So that you said a lot there, and I really want to kind of dive right into that. You mentioned You mentioned that one of the most challenging things as a professional athlete is finding people that you can trust, because a lot of times what happens is people come to you with different business ideas that might be their dreams that they want you to finance. Now, I really like that point. I think that's very relevant, and I've seen that quite a bit myself. Now, once you were able to find some trustworthy people, actually, why don't you tell me a little bit about did you meet any individuals that were trustworthy, or did you have experiences with people that you realized that, you know what, this might not be a particularly advantageous situation for me. I'm getting taken advantage of potentially.
I mean, you know, it's never really worthy in this world. There's a lot of, you know, you call it crabs in the barrel. There are a lot of people in this world that are selfish, greedy, and all these things, they all come together. You know, you'll hear of these financial advisors, the Madelones, the, you know, these guys that you think that you're getting yourself involved in a good hedge fund, a good business deal, and they're taking your money. And a lot of big corporate people get involved in it also, and they lose out because of someone else's greed. And so you can get yourself caught up in it just as well. And so you have to be careful, and you always have to be able to read between the lines and not just trust someone with your money, but really try to find something that's going to, you know, make money for yourself, whether it's hedge funds, whether it's bonds, whatever's going on in the stock market. You know, I tried my hand. I have an urgent care now where I have a freestanding urgent care, and this is something that I'm getting myself involved in, and we plan on opening up another urgent care within the next year, and it's really been doing well for me. But it's hard, really, to just, because so many people want to take advantage of professional athletes, because it's not that it's a jealousy, but they feel like because our money came so fast and because it's liquid, that they'll try to use it against the athlete, especially because you're an athlete.
Absolutely. Now, can you give me three things that a current player right now or an aspiring player can do, you know, whether it's 3, 2, 1, you know, 4, 5, doesn't matter, but a couple of things someone can do to be careful, to really be prudent and have a little bit of a control on who they can trust? Like, what are those couple of things that someone can do to really, you know, filter the good from the bad from people they can trust?
Save your money. Don't spend so hazardously. Don't, you know, just be careful of the people that you keep close to you. You know, so many guys, they put their friends on payrolls just to be homeboys. And, you know, when the money runs out, these guys really didn't bring nothing to the professional athlete but just being someone that they can just hang on to. And so now they're not hanging on to nothing when the money is gone. And so you got to watch, you know, the people that you're around. You got to be careful how you're partying, how you're spending on, you know, the luxuries of this world, like the jewelry, the cars, all of these things. They lose their interest as soon as you buy it. And so it's hard, and you won't get really no money back for it. But you continue to keep spending your money on these things. And just because you have these checks coming in, but I see so many guys spending hundreds of thousands of dollars on items that they really, half the time, they really don't even, it's not even a necessity in the future. You know, find you a financial advisor, someone that can really, you know, help you get into a hedge fund. Find someone, you know, that really, that you can trust with your money. But also look for a little business. Look for a business that you would love to enjoy to be a part of. While you're in the game, you don't have to wait till after the game. Start having a business mind, you know, while you're still playing the game, because now when you start searching for businesses that you can enjoy while you're playing the game, now when the game is over with, you know, it's not something that's new to you and it's not something that's foreign to you, because everyone's going to have a job when the game is over, unless you just made so much money that, you know, you could just enjoy life for the rest of your life. But even still, that money going to run out if you live a hazardous life. And so you just got to be careful of your lifestyle first, I think, before anything. Just watch how you're spending, you know, because it's all good when those checks come in, but when those checks stop and you're still spending just a haphazard life, then, you know, you're going to get caught. You're definitely going to get caught up real quick.
Now, can you give me a rundown of the businesses that you invested in or were a part of while you were playing?
Oh, wow.
A lot, eh?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, you got to start. You got to search. You got to continue. You know, the business, it got to excite you almost. You got to figure, you know, I look at it like Facebook. You know, it was an idea. Facebook was an idea. The guys, they go out one day and they say, you know what? Well, let's start a website where the colleges we can communicate between colleges and we can talk to each other and we can share each other's ideas and have instant message one another from across campuses. And it turns out to be one of the most successful, you know, brainstorms, ideas, you know, ever. And so most businesses that start off are basically some guys getting together and just saying, you know what, well, let's try this. Why not try this? And if you don't try it, you'll never know. But the thing is, you know, your money is being spent in the process of trying out new ideas. So you got to be careful of how much of an investment you're putting towards your business ideas.
Right. Now, are there any examples of businesses that you were involved in that went really well during your playing days?
Oh man, I have more that flopped than they did that. I have more that failed than succeeded. But they always say that one great business deal can it can put you in a position, you know, better than all the ones that you did wrong. And so there are so many that, you know, flop, but one good one can really take you to another level, and it will subtract from all, it will add on to all the bad ones that you invested in. But the thing is, you can never stop investing. You can never stop trying to, you know, find the right ideas or the right businesses that's going to lead you to a successful lifestyle.
So
I think that's.
No, go ahead.
I'm listening.
So do you think that, there's obviously, what do you think the average investment amount was that you kind of made in the businesses that you invested in that may have not succeeded?
You know, when I invested different ideas with people, I never wanted to invest a lot of money into it. I have always kept small investments, because so many people, they come with these million-dollar ideas that's not going to pay that money back. And so if you have money to, you know, invest, you got to keep it small and see if you can have give a small amount for a great return, you know, maybe $25,000, maybe $50,000 to invest in an idea. And then continue to keep, you can put it in different, you can cut that up and continue to keep putting it in different ideas and see what happens. I went from everything from ice cream parlors to oil and gas, you know. There are so many different business ideas, but not all businesses is going to pay money out.
How do you determine what's a good business idea from what isn't?
You can determine by, you know, whether or not in 6 months, whether that business is starting to turning around and giving you a return back, or if you're losing more money than you're gaining from it.
Okay. So maybe every 3 to 6 months, do a follow-up and figure out, where do I stand on the business? How is the business functioning? Am I earning my money back? What's the outlook looking like? What is the management team bringing back to me?
Exactly. And that's the main point. You got to make sure that you're not continuing to keep just putting money into your businesses, and now you're not getting no return from it, but yet you continue to keep just, it's almost like a fat cow. You know, you keep feeding the cow, but now if the cow ain't giving you no milk, well, then you're investing in something that's really going to start losing for you more than gain for you.
So really follow up on your business decisions. If you're going to make an investment, follow it up every month, 3 months, 6 months, whatever it is, something that works for your timeline and your schedule and your risk, basically your risk tolerance. And if that works for your risk tolerance, you want to follow up. You want to make sure that whatever you're investing in is giving you the return that you were looking for at that 3 month period. I think that's a really good point, Mike. And now, did you take any classes or any business classes or any type of training while you were playing? During the summers or anything like that?
Yeah, we used to have the NBA, the Players Association. They gave a business internship, you know, during the summertime. And any chance that I was able to go to these events, I was definitely wanting to just enhance my mind and learn more just about the business world and just learn more about life after basketball, because the basketball is going to stop for everyone.
Right.
But are you prepared when that basketball stops?
Okay, so you definitely participated in those business courses and the programs provided by the associations. So that's definitely important. Now, talk to me a little bit about, you're also an author, which I think is fantastic. Talk to me a little bit about the book Fight for Your Dreams.
Oh, it's just my story, you know, my journey from a childhood to an adult. I think I used to always just listen to everyone's story. And I just said, you know, I'm pretty sure I've heard so many different stories, but they all sounded the same. And I just wanted to give another story that I'm pretty sure a lot of people did not hear about. But at the same time, I wanted to let kids know, more importantly, it really doesn't matter where you're from. It doesn't matter if you had help or someone inspired you as a child, or if you've never been inspired, whether you came from a drug-related background, whether you was abused as a child, you still can be whoever God called you to be, but you just can't ever give up on yourself. And that's the reason why I called it Fight for Your Dreams, because sometimes things are going to come easy, you know, to you in life, and you just don't, it really doesn't have to be a fight. And then there's times when you're going to have to fight for everything, but the problem with a lot of people in this world is they give up on themselves so easy, and they look for somebody else to inspire them to be who they want to be, when all you have to really do is learn to inspire yourself and never give up on yourself.
I like that, man. That's the truth. Now, did it take you long to write the book, and did you work with an editor, and how did you get published?
Well, I self-published it. You know, I wrote the book. I wrote it myself, and, you know, it took me about maybe 3 years to do it, because it would have took longer, it would have took shorter, but I just, you know, I stopped for a moment, and then I went back to the book just to finish it, and I just believed that it was something that I really wanted to give to these kids to just help them understand, you know, a blueprint to success, especially coming from an athletic point of view, where so many times kids just give up on their dreams, man, because it gets too hard for them.
That's right.
But I just wanted to just let them know, you know, even when it gets harder, that means that the breakthrough may be coming soon. But if you give up on yourself and you quit, you'll never realize your breakthrough.
Absolutely. Now, so you got it self-published. Is that like an online type of publishing company, self-publish it? Or was it something that you knew somebody somewhere and it worked out that way?
Yeah, I knew someone. I had my, I had my team working with me, and one of my partners was definitely, she was working with me. I can't even. Brittany Leons, she was getting published. Kind of publishing company that was willing, you know, to work with me. Able to just continue to keep putting it. I put it together, and was able to get it out to the, you know, to the world.
Okay, now
I think that there's a lot of people that's really been inspired by it.
Absolutely, man. I think that it's all very important. I know that the proceeds go to your scholarship program. Is that right?
Yes. All the proceeds go to my foundation.
That's fantastic, man. Now, tell me a little bit about the businesses that you own right now, or that you got involved with after playing the game. I mean, obviously, you have after playing the game, you have much more time to be very vigilant in the investments that you make. Which investments did you make, and what businesses? You kind of mentioned one, which was Urgent Care Center. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. What else are you involved with from a business standpoint right now?
Right now, I'm really involved. I think I've spent a lot of time with my foundation. I think, you know, just really trying to get my foundation to just an elite level, and really, you know, trying to get big grants written so I can really help these kids. I think one of my main focuses right now has really been my foundation and trying to help these kids, you know, get to another level, and me giving them an opportunity to get to another level. I think that my urgent cares are doing well. My freestanding hospital, they're doing well. And I plan on having about, within the next 2 years, I plan on opening up three more, you know, throughout the Texas area. And just my hedge funds, they're doing extremely well. You know, my investments are doing well. I think that it's a blessing to be, and just more things. I'm excited about just getting involved in even more opportunities that come along that make sense to me.
Right.
You know, that's the main thing is, you know, you're always open for new business ideas, but they always have to be able to, they always say if it doesn't make dollars, it doesn't make sense. And so that's my main focus now, is just, you know, finding ideas. But I really want to get involved with other professional athletes and start brainstorming and getting together, because there are so many guys out there, you know, that's really lost, and they have this money. They don't know what to do with it, but yet they're just sitting on it and holding it, but it's not making money for them. So finding out new ways to just continue to keep making out money, make money for us.
Right, right. Now, do you communicate with guys outside of basketball, or do you generally, in terms of your network, is it within the sport?
I mean, I communicate with guys, you know, that are professional athletes, but at the same time, I've started dealing with more guys that are, you know, in the business world and outside of the game itself also, because you got to be able to expand your, you know, expand your circle, especially from just professional athletes.
Okay. Now, with the Urgent Care Center and the freestanding hospital, I mean, how long did it take you, how long did it take for you to see a return on your investment, as well as are you working with anyone on those projects?
Oh, wow. It, you know what? It took me, it was hard in the beginning because of the people that we had involved in, and we thought that we had the right team with us, but we had to find people that were, you know, genuinely trying to see success from the companies, and so we had to just change our whole staff. But it's now starting, it's starting to turn around, and now it's starting to make sense to us why we got involved in it. So it will take about sometimes, you know, it'll take about 6 months. It'll take a year for your company to start, for you to start seeing returns. But you just can't, you can't give up on the company. You can't, you know, you can't give up on yourself, because that's, sometimes you may have a great idea, you may have a great company, but then you're not seeing returns, and then you start getting worried about it, and then you're so ready to throw in the towel. But, you know, that might be the difference between a lot of companies, is those, you know, whether or not you stay with it or you continue or you give up on it.
Is part of, the, I guess, the brand for the urgent care centers as well as the freestanding hospitals, is part of the brand leveraging your own personal brand, or do you keep those separate?
Oh, I keep it separate.
Okay, you keep it separate. Okay.
Definitely.
Is that by reason? Is that by purpose?
Yes.
Okay. What is the reasoning behind that?
Because I really don't want, I don't want no one to know. You know, my wife, she deals with it. She deals with it more. I don't want no one to know that I really have nothing to do with it. You know, because you never know what people's ill intentions are.
Absolutely.
You know, it's a lot of people with, man, people got ill intentions all the time. And it's not fair, but, you know, this is the world that we live in, so you always have to be careful with the people that you're dealing with every day.
So how do you pick a management staff? I mean, I guess your wife's, for the most part, is responsible for the day-to-day operations of these businesses, is that right?
Yes, most definitely.
Okay, that's good. So I guess it's really important.
And I'm involved, you know, and I'm hands-on also, so we're both hands-on.
So, I mean, it sounds like you obviously really are encouraging aspiring current athletes to find someone that they trust, like your wife, like someone within the family that you can entrust with the decision making of who's a good manager, how to build an employee staff, how to determine the day to day operations and what decisions need to be made. Is that right?
Yeah, but you know what? I've been blessed, man. Like one of my close friends, which is you know, my medical director, you know, and he's a colon cancer. He specializes in breast cancer, colon cancer. So I've been blessed with, you know, the right people in my life,
right,
to really be able to tell me whether or not I'm getting involved in something that's good or something that's bad. Which, you know, he was able to help find, you know, my billing company. And so it was, you got to find people that understand what you're getting yourself involved in, but at the same time, someone that you trust.
So I guess it's a mixture of the trust as well as the education and knowledge and background from that business's standpoint.
Exactly. You know, I'm pretty sure the president doesn't know everything, but the cabinet that he, you know, entrusts with the experience and that the people that are around him, you know, that's more important especially than what he knows.
Okay. Now, at the end of every show, we have a pay it forward moment. So, I mean, this is basically, you know, it's kind of a open mic and it's kind of your opportunity to give what you think is probably the most vital type of advice for a current or aspiring professional athlete. You know, and although we you know, we kind of target the basketball community or the NBA fraternity, you know, all the information, everything we do on the show really correlates with the happenings of the professional athlete community. So, I mean, anything that you would think would be important for them to hear from a pay it forward standpoint.
Okay, wow. I think if you wanna know what true value, true success is, the first thing that you first have to understand is who God is calling you and Him. I think that we all need to have a relationship with our Heavenly Father. And if you don't, if you try to figure out things on your own, there'll always be confusion. There'll always be ups and downs. Even me as a Christian, there's always ups and downs in my life. But now I've learned that the problems are never going to change in my life, but it's how I deal with the problems. And right. The closer I've gotten to my Heavenly Father, you know, I've dealt with my situations more different than I did in the past. And so if I can tell you anything, you know, the problems are always going to be there, but through the relationship with your Heavenly Father will you understand that God will take you to a higher level in Him. So you have to start learning to trust Him, but building that relationship to trust, because unlike man, He will never leave you, neither will He forsake you. So if I can pay anything forward, the one thing that I can pay forward to you is start learning who the Father has called you to be in Him, not in what He called you to be in this world.
Absolutely, man. Mike, I really want to thank you for your time, man. I think this was a fantastic interview. So much information shared, and the things that you're doing, like the plethora of investments that you've made, as well as the opportunities that you've created for yourself, is simply amazing. And I think that, you know, you're a real role model for aspiring and current athletes in terms of how they can have a warrior mentality and really be successful on and off the court, taking advantage of every opportunity. And I want to encourage all my listeners that the number one thing and the number one message here is that really finding a balance and finding individuals that you can trust. And I think that's really important. You want to determine your decisions based on education and not relationships necessarily. So really based on merit and who can bring what to the table that can really contribute towards your off court and off career or off the game development from a career standpoint. Is that right, Mike?
Couldn't have said it no better.
All right, man. I really, really appreciate this time, man. I want to definitely encourage people to purchase Fight for Your Dreams, as all the proceeds benefit the Mike Foundation, Mike James Foundation Scholarship Program as well. You know, look out for those urgent care and freestanding hospitals that are going to be based in Texas. And, you know, we encourage you to continuously strive for excellence within your business. And thank you so much once again for your time, Mike.
All right, man. Take care.
Stay well, my friend.
Bye.